far from helping me and from the words of my roaring. Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Holy God cannot condone sin. So Jesus must be forsaken that you and I might not be forsaken. And it goes through the verse 6, but I am a worm and no man. Imagine that. I'm a worm and no man. The Son of Man is treated as a worm. But when the worm was crushed, it released a scarlet dye that was used in the garment of the priesthood and in the veil. Jesus must be crushed in death to release the red blood that would cleanse us from all our sins. And as you go on into the psalm, it mentions his garments and how they cast lots for it. And verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, or mine only begotten one, from the power of the dog. That is the power of the Gentiles. In other words, Rome and Israel would seek to devour him, but the Father would bring him forth, victorious in death as well as in resurrection. Verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. How could he do that if death was the end? And this verse is quoted in the book of Hebrews. Verse 24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. Well, how is it that the Father hid his face and now the Father's face is not hidden? Because Jesus went through the darkness, and after he spoke the fourth word of the cross, the darkness began to disappear and light began to shine to show us that darkness would not overpower light, but light would overcome darkness. This was the only day in history that the entire earth was blanketed in darkness. For half of the world is in darkness, while the other half is in light. But what happened at midday, where there was light? Midday became midnight. And there's a word linked with darkness, and that is desolation. And that's why you see Jesus with a cry of desolation. And it seems as if darkness is overpowering light. But because Jesus went through the darkness and he spoke, what happened in the beginning? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, what did he say? Let there be light. And what happened to the darkness? It fled. And the light shineth in the darkness. Help me. And the darkness could not put it out. Praise God. So Jesus receives the smile of the Father because he paid the price to redeem us. And that's in the meal offering. Leviticus chapter 2, it was prepared in a frying pan or on a griddle or in an oven. The heat, you put on the heat in the oven and you bake the unleavened wafers and you put it in high temperature if you want to finish it in a short time. And what is the meaning of the meal offering baked in the oven? When the cake is being baked, you don't see it. Oh, when it's in the frying pan and on the griddle, you can see it. So some of the sufferings of Jesus were seen, but there was one kind that no human eye saw. It was only between the Father and the Son. And he trod the winepress of the wrath of God alone. Alone. He alone, though he had two criminals besides him, he alone faced the wrath of God against sin. And no human eye could see that in the darkness. But hallelujah, the darkness could not win the light. And so Jesus came out of the darkness, and he had time to speak three more times. We will touch on those tomorrow. And Psalm 22 is a tremendous psalm. So let me show you verse 30 and 31 of Psalm 22. A seed shall serve him. Notice that. Where is he going to get a seed when he's cut off in the midst of his years? Oh, hallelujah. May I tell you something simple? It never says after the genealogy is given, this one begot that one begot that one. But it never says, and Jacob begot Joseph, and Joseph begot Jesus. Go read that again. It never says, and Joseph begot Jesus. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, called Christ. One day it dawned on me how I wasn't thinking straight. Why does it say, and Jesus begot somebody? Why does the genealogy end after Jesus comes on the scene? The simple answer is, he did not come to bring forth a natural generation. That is, which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again or born from above. He didn't come to perpetuate the fallen generation of Adam. That's why he's not the second Adam, as I told you the other night. If he were, he'd be second in a series of failures. Well, why is he the last Adam? He came to end the failure of the first Adam. And as a second man, he's the head of the new creation. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So how is it after all his sufferings and his resurrection? It says, a seed shall serve him. Where is he going to get the seed from? Isaiah tells us, he shall see his seed. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Well, who are his seed? It says it right here. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a what? We're the generation of Jesus Christ, who born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, let's go to the last verse. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. What comes after that? That he has done this. In the literal Hebrew, it is finished. That's what that is. In case you doubt me, I will ask you to check a few translations. That it is finished. When Jesus said it is finished, there was nothing to be added to or subtracted from his work on the cross. But we'll wait for that till tomorrow. How amazing that the whole story is so graphically portrayed in this 22nd chapter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He went through the darkness and conquered the darkness. The powers of darkness had surrounded him, but they could not take his life. I have power to what? Lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. Let's be grateful that he went through the darkness, that you and I might not have to die in darkness. Think of this. At his birth, night was turned to day. What happened to the shepherds keeping their flocks by night? What did they see? The glory of the Lord appeared, and night was turned to day at his birth. But as he was dying on the cross, day was turned into night. Is that an accident? No. So what's the meaning of the two things? We were children of darkness because of sin. And he came as the light to bring us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So he had to go through the darkness and defeat the darkness, that we will no longer serve the prince of darkness, but because of being converted and having forgiveness of sins and impartation of divine life, he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about it. And I can only leave these thoughts with you because I'm pondering them in my own heart. This great work of redemption. It didn't cost the Lord anything to create this planet. But it cost him blood and sweat and tears to redeem it. Amen. That's why how shall we escape if we neglect what? Not just salvation, so great a salvation. Hallelujah. May this wonderful Savior speak to us through his words, which are spirit and which are life. And if we can tomorrow, we will take "I Thirst" and "It Is Finished." And Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. God bless you, refresh you, and stir our hearts with his love and with his kindness. Father, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. We realize we know nothing yet as we ought to know, but we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord, whose goings forth have been prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, as the former and latter rain upon the earth. I pray you will come and visit us. We thank you for this rain that you're sending, and that you will continue to send a rain to quench the fires raging in Georgia. Thank you, Lord, that you will send a spiritual rain as well, and that we will continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, Lord, search our hearts and give us broken and contrite hearts, and let us see so much love that you manifested for us on Calvary's cross. Let that love so get hold of us that we will lay down our lives for others. We know we can't save them, but we know we can surrender to you to work in us and through us both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. So bless this congregation. Bless everyone from near and far. Thank you for bringing us to the kingdom like Queen Esther for such a time as this. I ask that the windows of heaven will be opened and you will pour a great blessing on all as we call on your name on this 125th day. The triple grace of the Lord will abound toward us, and the Lord will show himself strong, even as your word tells us, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. May we experience the blessings of these promises. And you're able to keep what we have committed unto you, and we commit ourselves afresh to you. Have your will and way. You are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will while we are yielded and still. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you
for so great love. And thank you that we will follow with Calvary love, with your love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Minister to the needs of each one, whether they be spiritual, mental, physical, financial, material, and otherwise. You are our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Thank you, Lord, even for those who are sorrowing, comfort them. And those with other burdens, we lay them at your feet. We cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. And thank you for the victory of the cross. We give it the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.